come with us now, if you dare, down a rickety staircase into a dank, dark basement. What awaits? The Saturday Night Freak Show.
Welcome back, ladies and germs, to the Saturday Night Freak Show podcast. Every Saturday night, the Freak Show happens, whether you're ready for it or not, where a bunch of us meet in this dank, dark basement, watch a movie that's chosen round robin, and then talk about it for your listening pleasure and edification. These are the starting lineup of tonight's internet radio superstars.
Travis.
Sean.
Nick.
And I'm Colin. And tonight was my movie pick. So tonight we watched Jaws 3D.
3D's in this movie.
And we watched it in 3D thanks to the wonderful people at Universal Pictures Home Video.
Please send us stuff.
Who finally put this goddamn movie finally out on video in its proper original 3D, the way that God intended this movie to be seen.
It's the first time the 2, 3, and 4 have been on Blu-ray. Like, yes. This is the first release of this.
But actually in 3D. It was in 3D on video on DVD on a format called Sensio. And it was also in 3D. Yeah, it's you had to have like a special processor and equipment.
Wait, I want to go back to what 2 and 4 are on Blu-ray?
Oh, yeah, the Jaws set.
Yeah, I got to say, they got to be on a compilation.
No,
right?
No,
they're not like, individual. They're like, no one's going to. No.
Yep. 10 bucks a pop.
This is global warming, folks.
They did
fucking
not put the Jaws
the Revenge just sitting in landfills.
But the
who the fuck wants Jaws 2 or The Revenge
in fantastic Blu-ray?
Jaws 3 was, at least for the day that it came out, the number one seller in Amazon horror Blu-rays.
Oh yeah,
wow.
Well,
so but
I mean, they only made like 4 or 5 kind of big budget 3D movies in 83.
It's one of those big like 3D ones. You know, there was Friday the 13th.
I think Amityville.
Those are the big ones, I think.
Yeah.
Because 3D came back, I think, you know, we've done other 3D episodes where I think I went over this, but basically it was a refresher.
It was like big in the
50s. Yeah, it was big in the 50s, and there was experimentation with it throughout the years. But in 1981, maybe, a low-budget movie called Coming At You was a spaghetti western that was shot in 3D that just threw shit at the... So there's no plot to this movie. It's just basically a western where they throw shit at the screen nonstop for 90 minutes. It became a huge hit. The studio said, what's this movie? We're making all this money. We should make 3D movies. Friday the 13th and Parasite. You remember this one?
Parasite.
Demi Moore.
Parasite
Charles Bands.
Yeah, I remember
Parasite.
This.
I think were the first two out of the gate. Friday the 13th Part 3. Friday the 13th Part 3 then gave the studios like, what the fuck? We got Jaws 3D we should do. And Amityville 3D was like a later addition. There was also the same year. There's Space Hunter was Columbia's big budget 3D space opera, Space Hunter Adventures in the Forbidden Zone.
And everyone remembers.
But nobody nobody remembers Rottweiler.
Hell no.
Or Treasure of the Four Crowns from the makers of Coming At You.
Only you, Colin.
Yeah.
Only
and Charles Band's.
Is there a cricket sound effect on his phone?
And Charles Band's Metal Storm, The Destruction of Jared Sin. Which
Jesus.
Is
this
also
is coming
getting
soon,
a
isn't
Blu-ray
it?
Release
really?
This year,
this is
and we
soon.
Will be watching
it. Since it's Charles Band, I'm happy to watch
it. It's getting to the point where you're mentioning that every podcast.
Yep.
Because so,
it's coming.
It's got
Metal
it.
Storm.
I've been waiting years for
the Metal
things.
Storm
years.
Podcast.
Okay, so the thing is, I'm looking right now at the Blu-ray for Jaws 3D, and it is called, erroneously, Jaws 3 on the packaging. And I got to tell you, it's not like in Best Buy. They have their section of 3D movies. It's not there. Mm-mm. It's over in the action
you wouldn't buy it.
Or horror.
Yeah. They want to charge more money for the 3D versions of Alice in Wonderland and the modern day movies. So they're not like, holy
this is
shit,
the
we just want to get this
3D
off the shelf.
Movie you can buy.
Well, because, I mean, come on.
But
come
it's
on,
the,
guys.
So the 3D version is a special feature on the goddamn disc, which is just a travesty.
The fucking movie is probably a special feature on
some other
you can tell from the get go. I've never been a Jaws. I mean,
a Jaws special feature.
Like, okay, I liked Friday 13th Part 3. Regardless of the 3D, and you can tell the shit that was probably in 3D. The really hokey, it's coming at you. But it's a watchable movie. I've never been able to watch Jaws 3. Just like, hey, it's on TNT. Let's sit down and watch Jaws 3.
That was my life. That was my childhood.
Yeah, that was the childhood. Yeah,
Jaws 3.
He wasn't. He could have reached shark? The clicker.
It's big.
I was on the other side of this because I was a tender lad of 9 years old, and I had already seen Jaws and Jaws 2. I think Jaws 2 was the first one I saw because ABC would run these, you know, as like Sunday movie. And I knew that Jaws 3D was coming out because I had some kind of advance. I had a Cine Fantastique magazine that talked about 3D.
I remember magazines
that were coming out. It also, Jaws 3D had a Topps trading card set.
Holy
where
shit.
Where a couple of the things, you came with the red and blue glasses.
I wonder when the first was a TV, movie.
There was a TV special called The Making of Jaws 3D, Sharks Don't Die, or something like Sharks Don't Die, The Making of Jaws 3D. So it was like a big deal. There was a big studio push for this movie.
I bet.
Yeah.
Well, because Jaws created the Hollywood blockbuster we know today. You know, yep. A lot of people are like, Star Wars, I think Jaws did it. You know,
yeah, it was Jaws.
Yeah.
Well, Hollywood blockbuster, as far as it was the movie that went out, I think that was one of the first releases that where they put the same movie, you know, like they do now, nationally, and opened the same day in like 1,000 theaters.
Right.
Because traditionally, movies like came out and they moved across the country. They come out in New York and the East Coast.
Then they cut it back.
Well, it's because didn't the studio start buying up a majority of the theaters? And that's why they started.
I think it was earlier. That was like that's what early days of movies. Yeah. They bought the theaters.
Well, I thought that was more in the 70s. And that's how like Jaws became this big, you know, because they went around, you know, the studios trying to kind of basically control. You know, what movies are seen and what gets advertising. Went around buying all the major chains and
Jaws did the opposite, because when the movie came out, it started getting really good word of mouth. And the producers wanted, as a plan to, like, get people in through the entire summer, they cut back the number of theaters that it was in. I think they cut it by half, because they wanted people lining up, like, around the block to go see
this movie. That's crafty.
So, yeah, they brought it back.
Sneaky.
Yeah, and made it a
They're
huge
good about
thing
that
over
shit.
The summer.
All right, so Jaws was 1975, the first like blockbuster movie.
Great movie. One of the best movies ever made.
Star Wars was 1977. Can anyone tell me what 1976 big multi-platform big budget
wasn't it Rocky?
StarCraft.
Wasn't it Rocky?
The Omen.
Oh, The Omen.
That was the one that 20th Century Fox put out and, like, you know, duplicated the Jaws release strategy.
Just so I'm not insane, Rocky won Best Picture in 76.
It did. Okay. Yeah.
I'm just.
No, I'm just talking
about.
I guess what movie, every movie mind. Does now, that strategy began with those three movies.
Yeah. And
by the
great
time
movies.
They got to Star Wars, it's like, you know.
Pandemonium.
Then it's over. That's what we're doing from here.
Yeah. Well, I think it was over, though. Because I don't know, for some reason, I love movie series, but for some reason, Jaws never, I mean, I love the first one, read the book, seen all the movies, but man, I don't give a shit about Jaws 2 through 4. I don't.
See, I don't mind 2. 2 kind of follows a little bit closer to the first one than the last two.
It feels like it's Roy set Scheider. Within the same universe. Mm-hmm. I guess because it is Roy Scheider, because the film stock looks the same, because it still takes place on Amity Island, because the supporting cast is still there.
Right.
Everyone aside from
and it's
Hooper
the same place.
And Quint.
Yeah.
So it feels in league with the first one, but when you watch them, which is a mistake that I did, at one point I watched them back to back, and I was like, oh, this movie really is shitty compared to Jaws. Yeah. But like, if you don't watch them back to back, it's like, you know, when it's on, you're like, oh, this is pretty decent. Yeah, just by comparison.
Because like 2 is like a serial killer movie, but the shark is the serial killer. Because in that one, they showed like they go completely opposite of Jaws, and they just give you the shark. All shark, all the time.
Yeah.
Like, you're with the shark. And it hunts the people like a serial killer does in a fucking movie. And it's pretty good. Like, in that regard, it's pretty good. It's a good movie.
It's got some decent movies.
It's got some decent stuff in it.
But you could transplant the story of, well, I suppose, because I was talking with somebody about this week, that Jaws is kind of like a Friday the 13th slasher movie in a way that, you know, it's like, you know, we got the... You could transplant that story kind of to like, we're reopening the sorority house or something.
Yeah, but it never should have been. That's the problem. It was not supposed to be that. And it's so that'd be like Jaws? If Rocky became a fucking like a Jason movie. You know?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, you should have taken an awesome movie that's really about a sheriff's fear of water and how his wife doesn't feel supported by this like weaker dude that even though he's a sheriff, you know, blah blah blah. You know, there's really this human heart of the story, but then they're like, dude, it will be set at night. Has to be at night. So you can, we were talking during this movie. It's like, oh, what if they threw a cat in the water? You know, just because it's like they were trying every other it's goddamn, got a little, like trope. On.
Well, the movies, slasher movies, and, you know, like the subsequent Jaws movies and shark movies and piranha movies and everything else, they're all predicated around, like, we have to shoot these scenes, or the filmmakers have to shoot scenes with just these throwaway characters who have to have a scene where we introduce them. They get in the water for some fucking reason. There's those underwater shots. The thing comes up and attacks them. There's got to be a couple of those so that our main cast, who's basically landbound for most of the movie, can go like, hey, there's a problem around here.
And that's what sucks, because Friday 13th will at least give you like 8 to 9 characters or something. And you'll at least kind of get to know everybody, where movies like this, hey, look at these people, like, you know, on skis. It feels like you're watching a documentary, and then you're just with, like, strangers you don't know. They get attacked, and you're like, well, I'm supposed to care or something, but I don't give a shit.
You don't care about Leah Thompson?
Oh, they're great. Well, they at least tried to build her character up, which I thought was stupid, because it's like, wait, these ladies are, I mean, we'll get to that, goddammit.
Yeah, but I think most of the Friday the 13th, on your point, I think most of the Friday the 13th movies are set up that way, too. There's somebody that gets introduced
to get
killed off.
But you'll still kind of know them. Not to hit that 13-person
body count.
They'll just drop you into a scene with, like, you know, I'm working on it. It's like a dude working on something.
Yeah, he's working on his bike, and his mom's yelling at him.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah. But that happens in a bunch of these movies, in Friday the 13th movies. You're just dropping this to a guy who's doing something, and then, like, Jason or non-Jason's come up and...
Not really.
There's a couple having a picnic in the woods, and then Jason kills them, and then...
Right, the couple go have sex in the woods, and Jason just kills them randomly.
Which one?
Part 5.
Part 6.
Part 6. Was it part 6? No, part 5.
But those were characters.
The two that were having they're having the picnic, and Jason shows up.
But
were not introduced prior to that scene, and get killed on the motorcycle or whatever.
Because that was a reshoot. I'm just saying that's the if you want to get specific. I'm just saying Jason movies will at least introduce this batch of characters together in a room talking with one another, so you can get like, okay, this is this dude's job, this is this person's hobby, he's the sports guy,
he's the
where
nerd.
Movies like this, they just seem to like drop you into scenes with people, almost just like how Pieces did the same thing. Pieces would drop you into somebody playing a sport, and you're like, okay, I'm watching this person now do something, and this is me getting to know this person. Like, oh, they do things. They move around with their body, you know?
I think in the Friday the 13th movies, I think what they do, which they don't do in Jaws 3, is that, or at least the characters are identifiable as certain stereotypes in the...
Or something.
And I think that makes it easier.
They all work at SeaWorld.
Right, but they're not like, there's the in the Friday the 13th, there's the shy girl, there's the nerdy guy, the guy who's trying to get laid, and all that stuff. Like, you can easily identify them by kind of the short term stuff. Their type, kind of what they're going after. You don't get that in this.
They really just like, I'll yell something at you because we're working together. We're at a job, right? So I'll just be like, hey, check that. And like, ooh, I connected you to my character. You know, he works with him, he's his boss, or whatever. So if you haven't guessed yet, in Jaws 3, these people work at SeaWorld.
Well, wait, before we get
there, paid really for it, quick, obviously.
I want to say that the thing that makes Jaws distinctively different than the other movies that we're talking about is halfway through Jaws, it changes into a completely different movie. It like gets rid of the slasher thing and becomes the old man in the sea, or Moby Dick.
kind of like a chase movie.
Yeah, and it's like these guys bonding while they're hunting the shark. Well,
because that's what happened in Jaws 1, right? In Jaws 1.
Well, that's what I'm saying. In Jaws 1.
You had, like, the openings were the murders, mm-hmm. you know, then the end was on the boat, you know.
You do a Friday 13th movie like that? It's like halfway through it. It's like, we're done with Jason. Now we're going to hunt him. And we're all going to go out on a boat. No, okay, never mind. So, but yeah, all the subsequent...
They tried that.
All the subsequent Jaws or the Jaws ripoffs, Grizzly or Piranha or whatever. Basically, it's like there's you establish the threat at the beginning. Somebody gets killed and we're going to find out that there's a shark in the water or something halfway through the movie. And we're going to have to save the people by the end of the movie who are in peril. So this movie... takes place in SeaWorld in 1983. It basically follows that exact formula, except here Dennis Quaid plays Mike Brody, which is the son of Chief Brody from the first two movies. And he's working in SeaWorld, and a great white shark, a 35-foot great white shark, not a 25-foot. Well, the original
movie swims into an open sea gate. Just watching this, like, you almost wouldn't get that these are Sheriff Brody's kids. They, like, barely mention anything about it, right? Like, I mean, I guess you're supposed to assume since, oh, this is Jaws Part 3, you're supposed to know the these characters. Family. But we're talking, like, how old, I mean, they were young kids in Part 1. How old were they in Part 2?
Teenagers. 16 and like 8.
Were they?
Yeah.
So then in this, they're like, well, it's fucking Dennis Quaid and some other
young, young Dennis Quaid. He's a young strapping something. Young man.
And like at first, I was just like, okay, we're just with these people at SeaWorld. And then the guy mentions something. I was like, holy fuck, that's supposed to be the kids of Sheriff Brody? It's like, that's weird that the movie wouldn't like really direct that towards, you know, the audience, you know, that. Yeah. These are supposed to be like you're supposed to be like, oh, Michael. You know, yeah, I mean, they don't even say. I don't even think they say Brody in this first scene, do they?
Well, the very first scene, he's like, "Better get Brody down."
Right when the gate breaks and they're like, "It's off the track. Better call Mike Brody."
Yeah. So they're trying to set that up, but
your problem with it was shared
by many contemporary reviewers of the movie. They said it's unrelated to the first one except by title. I'm like, no, damn it. It's got Mike and Sean Brony in it. And they're always talking about like that shark attack in Amity. Yeah.
But they just don't, I guess since they don't mention their father.
What happened when I was a kid.
Yeah, which I was even thinking, it's like, so that had to happen in two, right? Because I don't remember the young kid being in that much danger in part one.
Not much. His brother, Michael, was in more danger.
Yeah. And he's fine with water.
He should just move to the middle of the country.
He did. He went to Colorado.
Like Mike, because this is like he's got this, and by the fourth one he continues to work in the water. Yeah. Like he's insane.
He's working things out, baby.
He's like, I gotta face my fear. I gotta work in the water more.
Yeah, he didn't see the Jaws movies. He's not just paralyzed with fear from like, nah, damn it. There's only like 10 shark attacks a year.
Yeah. Ridiculous. Yeah. Four of them are Brody based.
Yeah, god damn it, Sheriff Brody. They're genetically modified to hate you.
That radiates shark.
But
well, it is the fourth one. Do we say it's like it follows them down? This time it's personal.
The mother has some sort of like existential kind of like explanation for it, right? Yeah, like it seems like it's just meant to.
It's after my family.
It's a curse. Yeah.
Yeah. It's a curse. It's a sea curse.
It kills Sean and then follows them thousands of miles to the Caribbean. Like,
does it kill Sean?
Yeah, kill Sean. Right.
Ooh, spoiler for part four. Spoiler. Oh shit. Now I'm not watching it.
No. Sure. Come on. Will you wait till next week?
Oh, God. Yeah. Is it my pick?
Yeah, anyway, it is. And you're picking Jaws 4.
Never again.
Yeah. So in the cast of characters in this, we've got Mike Brody works at SeaWorld with his cute,
I love her.
I do, too. She's very cute.
She's likable. Armstrong.
Very much so.
Did you think that the two of them made a believable couple?
Yeah,
I did.
Yeah. I did. I was like, that's the only real part of this whole movie is they're like, dude, is she going to go to Venezuela with
us? You're like really thinking about it. Like,
yeah, I was like, man, why does it?
They've been a year and a half. They love each other.
I'm like, dude, that's sad when you get to the point where like everybody's so focused on the career that one person's not going to break off of theirs to follow the other. It's just like, oh, man, I want these guys to get together.
Yeah, they're good.
But what about the secondary?
And there was a nice jokey. There wasn't no like.
No.
They had a really nice jokey relationship when talking about their kind of issue that, hey,
because they were avoiding
done
issues.
Here.
I mean, I guess that was
they have
thing.
A fun
like,
relationship.
Put this
like,
off. And have a discussion about it later.
Yeah.
Because I was worried, you know, I mean, I've seen this movie hundreds of times. Yeah. And I'm watching it, I'm like, You know, I'm like, this is how these guys in this room are going to be criticizing this movie. It just keeps coming back to them, like, talking about Venezuela.
It was the most interesting part of
Mike,
the film.
Mike gets a job offer, and she works at SeaWorld, so is she going to go to Venezuela? Right. There's at least three or four scenes where it's like, so we're not talking about what's actually going to happen between us.
Well, and she's also very supportive. Like, that's great, you know? Like, this is obviously awesome for his career.
Weird, but...
You know, because she just trains dolphins and shit, where he's some sort of, like,
and like she said, she's
major
only,
engineer dude.
I think she's like doing something there to like establish a credit for something. She's like, I've only got 6 more months here and then a year off in this thing.
And she's going to the Scripps Oceanic Institute, which is where Hooper, I think, is from. And, isn't that where his, it's like, a real thing.
Yeah.
That's the most prestigious like place you go to study, mm-hmm. you know, aquatic.
Right.
It would have been nice if you said under the like the helm of whatever his name was from
part one. Right, yeah.
Richard Dreyfuss. Yeah, Hooper.
But no, they have a good relationship. I like those two.
Yeah. And then the secondary couple is Sean Brody, the kid brother just out of school, and one of the,
best skiers? Actresses I've ever had the pleasure of seeing in my whole life.
All the right moves Thompson. Is Leah Thompson.
One of the best actresses you've ever touched yourself to.
Like, well, the Back to the Future scene where like she's like hitting on Marty probably was the first like my first kind of like awareness of sexual drive. Like, oh my God. But then, of course, I was like, this is incest. It's disgusting.
So you should have been watching Jaws 3D because that's how I first was exposed to Leah Thompson, and she exposed herself to me.
Well, I wish. That don't right. get well, the audience. In a, they're like, I'm going to rent Jaws 3. No. Don't get your... this is not the movie. Rent Casual Sex.
Well, okay. I was 9 years old.
Like, Colin, this was bullshit.
You lied to me. I'll never buy Jaws 3.
Yeah. To a 9 year old, that was something. I was aware of what was going on. You know,
it was
like,
it was awesome.
It's like, oh,
yeah.
Because everybody has that free love atmosphere. You know, it's just like, you know,
everybody's fun.
I just don't like that guy that plays Sean Brody. I like, yeah, such an unlikable dude. Like, has no charisma. Really, you thought? Yeah.
Unlikable?
He's just like, I'm a guy in a movie.
Kind of stick in the mud.
Yeah,
he's kind of a lunk.
Like somebody's nephew. Who directed this?
This was by a guy named Joe Alves. It's his only movie that he ever did. But you probably know him as the production designer on Escape from New York.
I don't know that.
Right. He was also the production designer on the first two Jaws movies.
And I think second unit on the
So it's one of those, like, you give it to the, like, the cheapest person possible.
Did something with those other Jaws movies, right?
You know this front to back.
That's right. Here's a paycheck.
Yeah,
he's go like make the movie.
The guy that did Psycho 2, right? The guy that worked right next to Hitchcock.
Yeah. That's a good movie. Richard Franklin.
It's all right. Once you say Norman's got another mother. Oh, I'm sorry. Different conversation.
What?
I know.
What? No.
That's mine, sir.
Oh, sorry. You're the small cans.
Yes.
Right. I'm the big cans.
All right, there we go. So the cast is also rounded out by two more people. There's
Mr. Philip Fitzroy.
Mr. Philip Fitzroy, which is played by the fucking Manimal. Anyone?
The Manimal?
I've Manimal. Okay, so Manimal was a TV show in probably 1983, where Simon McCorkindale, the actor who plays Philip Fitzroy,
Simon McCorkindale,
into a goddamn panther, or possibly a hawk. And I think maybe
Will Ferrell, I think, bought the rights to make a comedy version.
That's why. Okay. Yeah. That's why I've heard of it.
Yeah, dude, Manimal. Big stuff in the 70s.
Manimal.
Yeah. So he's like the great white hunter, right? Sure. He is this guy who's apparently like either.
He's always off for adventure.
Or, you know, he has some kind of oceanic.
What did they say?
He's photographed him.
The first scene is him photographing dolphins, and he's going to like, because he's like the British dude that's like going to like win the attraction of Dennis Quaid's girlfriend, but it just seems like he's taking photographs, and then as soon as they start talking about a shark, he's like, we cut it open, we film it, we whatever. I'm like, what the fuck? Are you a photographer, or are you like, I kill things for a living and then photograph them?
Well, that's when his partner said, like, yeah, that's how we make our bread. I know you can't understand what he's saying for most of the movie, but that is one line. He says, like, yeah, that's how we make our money.
He's very...
We kill sharks.
But I thought he's just making, they're photographing people, but he actually says, we kill sharks for a living. And take beautiful photography.
They say something, like, when he actually shows up, that he's been brought to SeaWorld by Calvin Bouchard, the guy who owns it. That's
Louis Gossett
Jr.
As some kind of I can't remember what he was. It was like a wildlife specialist or something like that. But he's also like, you know, apparently has some type of media, like not circus, but like credentials or whatever. Right. He's been, you know, like he's like a Jacques Cousteau kind of guy. Right. And he's been brought in there. And I think he says something like Bess Armstrong's characters run into him at some point where he like rammed somebody else with a ship or something at some convention.
Oh, right. Yeah. Why did you ram that Japanese whaling ship?
Or whaler. Yeah. Yeah. Because he got in my way or whatever.
I was ruined my best shot.
Yeah. So Calvin Bouchard is
Bouchard here.
So he's this guy who's the rich guy who just runs the place, right?
Right.
Well, Let me ask you this. I just want money.
Apparently he's got a sketchy past.
Let me ask you this. Who is the major antagonist besides the shark of this movie?
It's kind of supposed to be Luke Gossett Jr.
Yeah, I would say.
But he flip flops a little.
But he does. But he's always making the wrong decisions and the bad decisions. It kind of creates tension with the other characters.
Turn off the filters.
Turn off pipes. Putting the shark in. Because
he's the mayor.
Because he's worried about his bottom dollar.
He's got the mayor from part one. And he doesn't want the town to shut down.
It's not even good intentions. He just wants his money machine to not stop like pumping. Like, you know how much that costs?
Yeah. But the thing that I liked about him, I guess, was the fact that
he wasn't
that, like,
just a white guy bitching about money. That's what I like.
That it's a lot of times in movies now, it seems like that there's always the guy who's the single-minded. I'm thinking of Jurassic World. There was the Vincent D'Onofrio character. It's like they're so single-minded in the idea that we're going to, you know, put the shark on display. I'm interested only in the end result, that they don't care about the human collateral that's going to happen.
I think that's true.
When the, you know, but in this movie, it's like this guy never really comes across as a bad guy.
Not really an opportunist.
Yes. He's thinking about the bottom line. Yes. Does he make some bad decisions? Yes. Mm-hmm. But I think he makes some good decisions.
I just think he still cares
about the people who end up like in this. His crew and the visitors who
I think he just acts like he thinks his money is buying the knowledge it takes to handle the situation, right? He's just like, whatever, get this person on it. He's not really, he's delegating all responsibility in a weird way, right? Mm-hmm. He just knows that, like, damn it, we just need this to run. And I mean, I guess sometimes that's what a boss is, right? A boss is supposed to be like, hey, fucking do this.
Yeah. I'm going to hold you responsible,
You know, which I can kind of understand. But, yeah, once again, it still is in that light of just a dude that, like, wants to keep his – I mean, that's how every bad thing happens, right, is because he wants to cheap out and not, like, investigate or not, like, turn something off or, like, you know, fuck it if something's blocking it, you know. I'm not going to find out what it is. Just, you know, it could be a fucking little baby for, like, you know.
His motivation – I mean, that's the thing. I guess it sounds sound at the time. It's like, we're not going to blow up a $2,000 turbine. We're going to turn it off, you know. We're not going to do that. Yeah, I mean, so it sounds like, okay, these aren't unreasonable things. It turns out, because we've seen the movie, we know that these are the bad, you know, but we have hindsight. We've seen the movie. We know that, like, the shit that happens because he makes these decisions.
But at the same time, like, because when the British dude was like, you know, we'll kill it, he's like, fuck yeah, that's going to make us some money. And then the lady's like, let's capture it, make more money. He's like, yeah. He's still, like, kind of smiling at the dude, like, we'll still kill that shit for money.
Just in case,
as
a backup plan.
Yeah,
I was almost like, when the little thing was dying, I was always expecting the guy to jump in there, cut his belly off, and be like, ha ha!
See, but still even got him, it. Right? Because I guess that's maybe, like, my expectation for these type of movies.
Have a villain?
It's going to be Fitzroy's. But even Fitzroy's is like, I'm going to kill the shark, you know, we're going to cut it open on live TV, it's going to be great. And you're like, that's horrible. And, you know, Bess Armstrong's character has that point of view. But he's really not a bad guy either, you know? I mean, he's like, well, you know, we can do what she wants to do. We can, because that's actually probably a better idea. He sees the possibility in, you know, capturing the thing and actually having, like, a live great white shark in SeaWorld.
Yeah, if he sees the better idea, he goes with it. He's not, like, you know, straight-minded. It's like, no, this is what we're going to do. It's not the.
Does that make these characters complex?
No.
Okay. I'm not going to push that. It is Jaws 3D that we're talking about.
I just realized.
Yeah, because he really was. I mean, he's the Quint character, right? Like, I'll catch him, you know, the head down, whatever.
Yeah.
Tail the whole damn thing.
That's shit. Interesting. So they have the Find mayor character, the basically the guy who's going to fill the
another sequel, man. Like a sequel. The all they do is like, well, that guy, we got to have a guy like that.
Yeah.
Ugh.
So the shark swims in through the open sea gate, kills a worker whose body washes up later and, you know, basically.
A cool 3D, like, whoa.
Yeah.
arm and bone sticking out.
I did like the reaction to this guy. Like you know, in the first movie, you know, you lift up the sheet of the girl and they're just like, the victim is, can I have a glass of water, please? You know,
we're not smoking here. Thank you very much.
Yeah, not smoking here. Then Dennis Quaid in this is just like, oh, God. Like, he's just going to like throw up on it.
And this is what happens. You
know. But then he knows, he's just like, it's a shark. I know it.
Yeah.
And then she, of course, like, she's like, close.
Yeah.
The baby, the butt, it's like, hold the fuck, she's just coming all, this is just off the top of her head, like, we captured a baby. The mother is still in the park.
It's like, she's talking about some damn shark's mother?
Get over here, yeah.
You could figure it out, there are two sharks, but she puts a whole family lineage into this shit.
Oh, dude, she's like,
the explanation.
Wait, the mother is angry now. It's like, how the fuck do you know this?
Because Overman was killed inside the park.
The baby was born inside the park.
Its mother is
inside the park. Yeah. It's great.
And that, of course, sets up the big set piece scenes of the movie where the shark actually gets loose during the opening day of SeaWorld. So you've got...
But nobody's in... trouble. That's the only problem with this movie. Also, there's not like lots of people in the ocean or not, like everybody's like on the stands like, all right, cool.
Well, sharks there's the ski there. Show.
I know there's like four people in trouble.
The bumper cars.
Right, the bumper boats.
Well,
the people
kinda,
underwater, which that thing was not stable. Okay. If a shark had hit it like once.
But now this is the best invention of the movie, I think. Or, you know, for... Did you get something before this?
Well, I was just going to say that when Leah Thompson was on the bumper. Well, the reason I thought was like, because it's like they set her up as one of these ski people, right? And it's like, oh, you're going to kill her on a bumper boat thing? What the fuck? Right. Like, we set her up as a ski, like, person.
And
like,
she's a dancer, too. Apparently.
Yeah, she's everything, right? What the fuck was that? Dancing with a pig mascot? I was like, oh, that's very SeaWorld.
That's why I never wanted to go to SeaWorld as a kid, man. Because I just, like, it looked like the most boring shit in the world. I'm like, I just get to sit there and
we've
watch
got fish. We've got fish.
Let's go back to Universal. I can actually ride the Jaws ride, Mom. Thank
you. Oh,
you
don't want to see their slumped over torso fins?
No, I don't. No, it's
so sad. It's
like,
cute.
I can't touch that thing. Give me
they're only going to be alive for half their lifespan. You don't want to.
Nick, you said you were at SeaWorld recently. I mean, is that still like a thing, or since the whole with Blackfish deal, is it kind of like taking the
they're keeping it quiet.
Their whole push when we were there just last April, I believe. Their whole push when we were watching the orcas show.
They still have them.
Yeah, they still have them. Hmm. But it was all, we take care of our orcas.
Let me ask you a question.
And
did they say their lifespan is 30 years?
I don't remember. I was too busy waiting for the kids to get splashed by a freaking
Shamu
and shit. Shamu
but they got to have like at least some. See, here's the thing, I guess, that I, at the time when I saw this movie, I didn't know this was fiction. God damn it, and found out that it was. But the movie says, and this is the credit to the writers, in Florida's SeaWorld, they have put a undersea kingdom, this like complex.
There's a
control room, a underwater restaurant called Neptune's.
Whatever.
Shit, it was something.
Neptune's Wake or something.
A fucking haunted house for some reason? I was like, that's what SeaWorld needs, a haunted house? These people had nothing. They like, what else is in
the
SeaWorld?
Animatronic 3D octopus tentacles. And then it's got like these pressurized viewing tunnels, which are these plexiglass tunnels that are in
the
just
talk about Jonas the whale. So this supposedly scientific park is like,
the mouth
here's a Bible story.
Right, yeah.
What? Okay.
Yeah, you were incredulous at that point. You're like,
well, I guess it was the 80s. He's like, why? What? It's like, I'm, you know, I'm not like a, you know, I don't hate the Bible, but I'm like, what?
Like,
these things don't
like,
go together.
Teaching? Like, not
Jonas and the
whale?
Like, this is how he survived. Like, what? It's not science. It's a fucking mythological tale.
It's cool, though. You get to walk down the tunnel and I guess into the whale's
mouth. If you're trying to make money off a sea where you're like, anything, Neptune, whatever, yeah. like anything right. yeah, sea-related. Yeah, they
put a haunted house in there.
I'm a haunted house. Like, I'm sure
if you have you Neptune's like dining room, one of the other tunnels is probably the guy with the...
Cthulhu's smoking lounge.
Poseidon something
yeah,
something.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. Yeah, they work it all in there. But of course, when the big great white shark like slams into these tunnels, it floods with water and we have to save the people from being drowned.
Yeah, that's my problem. It's like people aren't in trouble from the shark. What it is the people are like it's a time game for the characters. They're like, we got people trapped in that tunnel. We need to create a fix for the pressure before the doors will unlock or whatever. Mm-hmm. Okay, well, first we have to get Jaws 3 into the pen. He's the third. Jaws the third.
Wait, he's like the fourth, though, because there's the baby shark. Oh, which shit. They captured.
Well, he'd be the... No, he'd be the fourth.
Wait.
The Jaws the baby would be the fourth. Why this is still the Jaws fourth? The third. Well, hello, it's the baby. Your son wouldn't be... You wouldn't be Junior. And your son
even though he right. shows up right. in the movie first.
But I'm going by, like, okay. what they have to deal with. Right? And they have to deal with
but
the
I'm
baby
just saying, I'm just saying, shark. So then it becomes like a... Dun, 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 dun. Like, we gotta, like... We have to... what is it? You have to mold the...
Yeah, there's a patch, basically. They're gonna put on the...
Underwater seal. Molding. Underwater molding.
Just there with clay.
But then, of course, you're like, you know, oh, my God, the shark got loose and can swim backwards. Can sharks swim backwards?
No.
We need to do this.
Well, the idea of the movie, okay, this is where I'm going to defend the movie, even though you can't because it's scientifically impossible. But the idea that the big shark, we're going to have to go back and explain what happened to the little shark. But the big shark,
it
swims into a filtration pipe where the fresh salt water is being blown at it so fast that it doesn't actually have, it's like, it's just sitting in there.
It's like
hanging out. Yeah. It's like, hey, I can just sit here and it feels like I'm swimming because all the water is going through my mouth and out my gills and I don't have to move. It's the laziest fucking big great white shark in the world. Did I mention that it's 35 foot long?
35
it's at least
foot long.
10 feet longer than Jaws. And Jaws too.
With a yard.
A yard Jaws. Bite radius.
Yeah, bite radius. Thank you.
But yeah, back to the baby shark, because we kind of bypassed
right,
that.
We're coming back to this. Like,
at first, they're terrorized by a smaller shark. Like
they don't know that. We just know
they don't.
Jaws
yeah, we don't
3.
Know. Yeah, we don't know it was the baby shark that did any of the killing
no,
at
no,
the beginning.
No, because the big shark is what killed the dude. Like, mama shark killed the guy who went down to check the gate.
Yep.
Because
yep.
of the bite radius.
Yep.
No, we just know that they're like, they are, when they go down to check the ship, because they're looking for the guy who disappeared.
Yeah, there's a ship in here, like
and
it's
so
a fucking
Dennis,
aquarium.
Mike and Kay is her name,
the
right?
Spanish galley, Kathy.
Kathy? But they call her Kay, right?
And there's like fake Kay. Bones in there, like people would see that
right.
shit. It's like, that's for the
it's
fish?
It's an attraction.
What? Well, but who's attraction. Swimming in the sea in there? Well, who
in
the
underwater? But you're in the underwater, you'd see like a skeleton hanging.
But no one said that people are scuba diving in that. They just said, exactly. So who would
see
the pirate skeletons inside the ship? It's insane. It's insane. I'm sorry. I just thought that was insane. Like, so the people that made this movie think that we would treat this like a giant aquarium. It's like, where's the castle? No one has the coral castle.
I'm sure that wasn't there either, was it? Because at the beginning, we got to go back, but they did have like a little miniature map.
They did.
And they had the Spanish galleon. They mentioned it.
They did.
Sunken Spanish galleon.
We talked
Jonah's
about
Green Funhouse.
Every movie that involves underwater adventure always has to have the sunken ship that you investigate.
Yeah,
the
sure.
chipmunk fucking adventure. The every movie has the
Little Mermaid.
Yeah, Little Mermaid. Just
any
movie.
Ever
any
movie made.
Underwater. There's more cartoons underwater, say, okay. apparently.
I guess you can't do Goonies because that's above water.
No,
right?
It's fucking shit. Yeah, it's fucking retarded in this movie. It's just ridiculous. This is like a sunken ship with pirate skeletons in it.
Yeah.
Right. It's fun.
It's a stretch.
But that leads to
a
amazingly fun chasing, exciting chasing.
No, that was not exciting.
Between a great white shark and two dolphins who are like, are 7th and 8th characters?
Cindy and Sally or something.
Cindy and Sandy.
I don't know.
Cindy and Sandy.
But that did not work out. I'm sorry. It did not work. Dude, I saw the editing. I saw what they were trying to do. Yeah. I was like, oh, I can see the storyboard.
Yeah.
Fucking didn't work. No. A lot of like quit. quick cutting to just make it look like
they're shooting a real, at this point, a real great white shark swimming around doing its thing.
And well, they got footage.
Stock footage or something.
And they're trying to marry the two together.
But they even try to do like a
scene.
The woman falls off of the dolphin, and the she's like, oh, right no. There. And then the dolphin swoops it. I was like, oh, fucking how stupid.
I figured they were shooting that wide shot first, and they're like, she fell off. What do we do now?
Yeah.
Oh, you think? I don't think so. It was supposed to be a chase.
The shark was like 2 inches behind her, and all of a sudden the dolphin
it's like, oh, she's dead.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's my problem with Jaws 3. It doesn't build any...
She's going to grab onto the great white shark.
Right, just grab that and ride that.
I don't think it does build tension. Like, they try, but I don't think... It's just like this... So the only way to build tension in this movie is for the shark to move really slowly behind them and have them do a bunch of shit because they're moving really slowly because of all the water. You know, it's just like... Well,
it's
just
the idea... I mean, I guess what? The Jaws or your slasher movie functions on is that we have a killer...
It's the inevitable.
Yeah, and it's out there. Right. It's out there, and it's going
to
strike.
And then
it
just comes to the clouds.
Jason's out
and
there.
And yells at you, apparently, because it did kind of yell.
Just like, yeah, there's the bubbles that roars. Are expelled. It roars. It's not yelling. It's roaring.
It roars. Okay, that's Jaws of Revenge. That's almost exactly Jaws of Revenge.
Yeah. But I want to talk about how fucking actually stupid and cheesy... Because, okay, I've watched Godzilla movies my whole life, right? And I was actually going to ask you, Colin, if this was something to do with the 3D camera effects with, like, a kind of a blue screen, like a green screen. Because it's like, this looks worse than any... I mean, this is 1983, and it looks worse than any of the 60s Godzilla shit. Like, all the stuff underwater.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I wonder, is this just too... is this miniatures and green screening not being able to like match up with the 3D?
They can't blend
technology.
The elements.
Travis, you are in luck because I read a goddamn magazine on this thing called Cinefantastic.
Cinefantastique. Q-U-E.
So, this was one of the first movies to use green screen. Everything used blue screen prior to this. This was the first one to use green screen. Green screen apparently works better in electronic composites.
Wait a second. I think Superman the movie used green and blue. Anyway.
Well... Yeah, it was. Sorry. They said it was for electronic compositing as opposed to photochemical compositing. Mm. Green works better. It's easier to key out or something like that. Yeah. So, and there was, because it's a major studio movie, that means that you only have so much time to complete your effects. And it's like, we got to have it out because we said June 22nd. God damn it, it's coming out.
It's always a release date.
So they said what they would do is they would shoot a lot of the underwater stuff is actually shot in a smoke room. It's not underwater. It's shot in a room full of smoke. And that looks like underwater, I guess. Then they would composite like bubbles in the foreground, you know? And it's like, you put the layers together, boom, you're underwater. But they would try to do because this was like a thing where they're, you know, experimenting with 3D, like 3D composites, I think maybe for the first time in history,
right.
It's like, okay, we got to set this one up. So it's convergence, you know, is like its depth is back here. There's going to be like the live action people walking through the tunnel. Then you have like the tunnel, then you have the coral, then you've got the bubbles and all this other shit.
Jeez.
There's another thing that explains kind of why the resolution of the movie isn't as good as it could be. This is a technical aside for how 3D worked in 1983, but they came up with a system where you could shoot 3D with one camera. They put an adapter on the front of the camera, and it would split the image into an upper lens. And a lower. Yeah, so left eye top, right eye bottom kind of thing. And you could play it back then on any projector with another adapter. And so this would save on film stock. So they were like, we're shooting with that. But the result of this is, in a 35-millimeter frame, you're actually exposing the only, like, half of it, right? The half of it's, like, the left eye, whatever. And the other half of it's the right eye. So when you put them together, you see a full image, but it's only half the resolution of a regular movie.
Mm.
This cuts down on your I think, graphical fidelity and a lot. Because you're like, this is a Blu-ray, and I expected it to look a lot better.
Oh, I thought it was going to look great, man. Yeah.
Some of it did look, it's always, I mean, I've been watching it on shitty DVDs and television tapes.
It's horrible.
I'm watching on tapes for my whole life. So this looked far better than anything I've seen before.
It's very sharp, but it's very sharp. Grainy.
Oh, there is grain. Yeah.
Whoa. Because I still got to say, and of all of movie history, Jaws 3 to me is one of the worst looking fucking movies in the world.
it's very flat.
It's just and there's not a lot going on in the background. I don't know if this is SeaWorld. It's not like they can make a set or something to really make things interesting. They just kind of use what they had, I guess. Mm. And that just, there's nothing going on in the background of the whole movie. Very for a 3D movie, it does have four to five really 3D shots that stick out there. The fish at the beginning, the floating arm.
The titles were great.
Yeah, the titles were really great.
I swear to God, even on the home video version, seem like they're about a foot away from, an arm's length or less, away from your face. It's amazing. Yeah. I mean, the depth in this movie, and this is why I keep going back to this era 3D stuff, is because it blows away anything that they're doing today as far as the depth.
And that's the fun stuff.
Well, because they're not afraid of being hokey today. No director wants to be hokey. They still want to make their movie, but okay, if you want to make an extra $5 a ticket, fuck it. We can post.
Yeah. Whatever. But these ones are we're actually shooting in 3D. This is how it's going to be seen.
Right, let's poke them in the face.
I don't think they had the idea of a home video release in 1983.
Right? Right? Or it was very new. I mean, it was still there, but they're this could die.
Yeah. Right, and you can't do this on TV. But that's why when you watch this, we've all probably grown up with this movie in 2D where you're why are they hanging on this shot of this arm, severed arm? Or why are they why are they zooming right up and into, this crab or this, the tentacle or whatever? And now when you see it in 3D, it's holy shit, it was actually meant to be shot that
way.
Those
are very sharp. I mean, those are very because they're small and it's almost
With crabs?
Well, yeah, because there's the shot of the
it's almost split into two different 3D things.
Well, there's always some long thing right in the center. Mm-hmm. So when it comes up, you really have to kind of go cross-eyed to look at it in its 3D self, because it's so so pinpointed.
Right. Yeah, it's so close to your face, I think. You're trying to focus
on it. It's so dead on. It's not at an angle or nothing. All right. But I like that, because it's not nowadays they'd have the background out of focus and you're okay, well, this would be 3D if the background was, was in focus, so at least this does it, even though it's a little hard for the eye to see.
A little bit sometimes.
Well, it's fun. It gives you enough time to focus your eye on it. This is what I like about the old 3D. It gives you the option. You can look at it or you can look somewhere else. You don't need, if it hurts your eyes to the rest of the screen's not out of focus. You can at least look somewhere else it's not going to ruin
the shot. Idea of crossing your eyes that led to eye strain on the part of audiences. This is the thing that killed off 80s 3D is they're just I go in and I get headaches. Well, I mean, some of it would be too if the lens wasn't adjusted right.
Yeah.
People that don't have
the orientation would be off and that would create headaches and eye strains. Space Hunter is notorious for shot with the incorrect convergence depth.
Really?
A lot of shots have the characters out in front of the screen instead of falling behind the screen, that kind of thing. And so that would give headaches to people. So they're just 3D, it hurts, Either I don't see it or it does. Hurts. But now it's you got Blu-ray and they've cleaned all this shit up. And now it looks better now than it did in theaters then. You know, this is the way to actually see these movies. And if you've been watching them the whole time, through the years in 2D and you're this sucks because they're just poking shit at you. This in 3D, it's holy fuck, look at that. It's awesome. now that it's actually coming out and whoosh, hitting you upside the head.
Yeah.
So
3D sharks.
I mean, so of course, every goddamn Jaws movie needs you to blow up a shark at the end. There's no other way to. You want to know the real way to take out a shark? This is God's honest truth.
You punch it in the nose.
No, that's I've heard that, but
you yell at it.
That's if you're halfway in its mouth.
You dig your fingers in his gills.
Oh yeah,
that will either fucking freak it out or suffocate it or whatever. You want to just fucking I just start clawing at the side.
I hope you're listening to this.
You have to get past the jaws first.
Well, it might let, but it, hopefully it won't let go. It's almost like sticking your finger up the butt of a dog.
It'll punch in the face
and be like, huh?
For more information on how to fight a shark, go back and listen to our zombie podcast.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's a pretty in-depth of how you should handle that situation.
Was I a part of that? I'm not sure.
No.
Oh, you had to have been.
Maybe. I'm not sure. Sometimes I miss.
The zombie fights a shark?
I know. Sometimes I miss.
One of the best,
one of the best scenes.
Movies.
Yeah, so at the end of the movie, where have we left it?
I really did like the
baby shark.
They do capture the baby shark through a process of shooting it with a 3D harpoon. And
it's like, no way, we're still talking about the baby shark.
We haven't explained
baby shark, then we're jumping ahead. But they capture the baby shark, they put it on display, and the fucking baby shark dies. And that's how we find out that there's a... Because you're like, what? The fucking movie's over. You killed the shark. No. Mother shark. Boom.
Fake out.
Big shark.
It's a Jason's mom shark.
Yeah. People stuck in the tube. And
so they got to trap the shark, fix the tube, let the people out, and then kill the shark.
And unfortunately, Simon McCorkindale, the great white hunter, Fitzroyce.
That was a great. That scene was shot awesome. Like that's the scene I've like. That's the only unique scene. Yeah,
the shot inside the shark.
That's the only unique scene that this movie offers. I don't think any other Jaws movies does. Not even 4, right?
No, not even 4.
That's why I was like, dude, he needs to fucking take a knife out and fucking plunge it into the tongue or the cheek and like come out at the end of this fucking movie, man. That'd be awesome. That'd be so intense. Like he lived
like
inside that shark for 40 minutes.
Where they just cut him open and he comes like, hey,
or
guys.
Something,
like,
right? I could imagine that. Like I would do any. I'd be like spread fucking eagle. Like, no.
Well, I'm still trying to work out how the logistics of how this happened, but somehow he's outside the shark one moment. The shark catches his fin on its tooth.
Right.
And then suddenly he is full body and still alive. Inside the mouth,
the shark is so big that he just gets in there.
Yeah, he gets sucked in.
The water
water pushed him in. You're right.
Right. Oh yeah, because he's
in the filtration.
In. The filtration is still going.
That's a good one.
Wow. Go.
Well, no, I was thinking when thinking of something larger opens its mouth, the water is sucking in, so it's still like flow. That's like what you never know about the danger of water is the current.
Well, this
he gets crushed to death in the jaws of Jaws.
Yeah, it's so like that. You're supposed to assume to that
he has
maybe he doesn't
grenade.
Get bitten.
An underwater,
he gets
grenade.
Bitten. No.
Yeah, he's like holding on to it.
He was just about to pull the pin, and then
probably crushed his lungs.
I would guess
and that's
so.
Where there's all the blood came from out of his mouth or something.
Comes out and looks like the shark's chewing. Because in this movie, pardon me. In the previous
shark
Jaws
puppet.
Movies, they employed a mechanical shark, right?
Yes.
This movie, because, and this is the distinction from the other two Jaws movies, because it takes place in SeaWorld, we spend a lot of time underwater, like deep underwater, where you have to actually have like a full shark puppet thing.
What?
I don't know. So like,
kinda,
that's the big one.
I mean, some of it's real photography.
Shot from behind a lot.
Yeah, flapping its tail. There's a big mechanical shark. Well, it's front, you know, they show that a lot off also. And then there's like the smaller puppet one, I think, that you see like in the long shot swimming away from the camera.
There was, I swear to God, that one shot when the shark goes into the control room, that had to have been stop motion. It looked stop motion.
It felt like it.
Just the tail. Yeah. Like,
right, going in
very
and out.
Claymation.
It had that stutter.
It did.
Mm-hmm.
I would say so.
Which I can't necessarily fault it for.
What do you call that dappled light thing that you put over a lens that makes it look like, ooh, there's waves or water pattern?
Yeah.
But it's actually like shot in indoors, not in a tank.
But I do, I'm going to keep coming back to like how I do love how, and this is another one of the things like why this is confusing of who these characters are because it doesn't seem like Michael and Sean or whoever, they just don't seem to be characters because. That the female scientist, she does take like such a proactive like attitude towards her, you know, she puts on the wetsuit like I'm going out there.
Yeah.
You know, no, god damn it, you know, where you got that scene.
Yeah.
But I just like that character. I like that character.
I like her.
Because it wasn't played off as like, what a strong female character. It was just a strong female character. And I was like, right. Oh, fuck, I like this. It's just written really good. You really like this girl. She's very supportive of a dude getting a job elsewhere, even though it breaks her heart. She's a very strong person.
She's very good at her job.
She understands things. She's not weepy about everything in the world. You know, she has a job to do. She fucking does it.
Right.
I like that one scene where she's like, "Hey, what did we say? You build it. I go in the water." And, yeah. I thought that was awesome.
Yeah,
I love those couple. I love that couple. It's the only good thing I got to say. Well, so then, of course, they're like, "I know. We'll find a fucking hook that's like that's like 10 foot long." It's like I got those at my shop because we need like hooks that are 10 foot long. Well, it's like, where did they find that?
The shark does. Crash in Astounding.
That was a cool scene because you knew it was coming
into the
plate slow motion. Window.
Yeah, slow motion.
And they had that Friday 13th like slow down of time, like.
Yeah, I remember that was the centerpeice of the advertising. Oh, yeah.
That could have been a little bit more like on center or a little quicker. Yeah. I don't know. Why was it so fucking slow?
I don't know.
I get it. It's like it's coming, shark. But then it should have just sped up and like. Did like the Friday part, like the logo.
Yeah.
But that should have worked.
It was all right. But they find the big pole and they detonate the. Okay, so.
But yeah, they loop it directly in the pin and pull it.
Good music.
And at the end of the movie, so not
we worry John about Williams. Where dolphins are.
Okay, so this is where, okay.
Fuck your brother.
Movie,
where's Leah Thompson?
I don't know if you caught this in the opening credits, but this movie has a screenplay credit to Richard Matheson.
Richard Matheson, who wrote a lot of Twilight Zones, right?
Who wrote Legend of Hell House, which you probably listened to on this podcast, of course. A lot of Twilight Zones. He also did the I Am Legend, the story. I mean, like the guy is, I think, an underrated shaper of 20th century horror. You know, go back to our Legend of Hell House episode for that. But he apparently hates this movie. He said he wrote the movie, and then a guy named Gordon Trueblood and Carl Gottlieb, who wrote
every other Jaws movie,
like reshaped it. Did you know? Trivia, in development, when they were trying to make a Jaws sequel, some smartass at Universal Pictures thought that the Jaws sequel should be called Jaws 3 People Zero.
That's funny. Oh my God, it's awesome.
True story.
Dude, I'd buy that. That's great.
Yeah. But they didn't.
Even though I don't think this should have ever been sequelized. this is a one and done movie. I mean,
well, the problem, right, with
I know the run.
Well, yeah, I think this is my biggest problem with the movie is that instead of, like, if you were going to remake this movie, you would put Sean and, what was Leah Thompson's name?
Michael?
No, the girl, Leah Thompson, whatever. Yeah. The Leah Thompson's character.
Yeah.
You would put them in the tunnel.
Yeah.
Right. Shark attacked the tunnel. They're going to drown. We have to get them out. But for some fucking reason, which I can't to this day understand, I guess you need to have somebody who becomes a victim of a shark attack. So she gets bit in the leg.
Yeah.
And so Sean has to pack her up into the ambulance and ride away, like with 20 minutes left to go in the fucking movie.
Yes.
So that leaves your emotional payoff.
And all they did was joke around and play around the whole movie. Like, this is what I didn't like. This is how they try to be the Friday 13th. They try to just like act like they're kids at a beach.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like, what the fuck is going on here?
All those scenes were fun, Trip.
Oh, yeah. God.
Little crab ass never killed anybody.
Playing hide and go. We're fucking 35 playing hide and go seek, you know? The guy's like, I almost fucked in the water.
And then you cunt blocked me.
Yeah,
that's the stuff of drama. Lighthearted drama. The whole movie has Friday a kind of a light.
Do you not have fun anymore, Travis? Do you not plan? Do you not frolic on the beach with your brother in your underwear?
Dude, Jaws is like, it's not like, okay, what if Godfather 3 was as shitty as, well, hold on.
Hold on.
Wait a second. Let me rethink this analogy. I'm just saying.
Speaking of three.
I'm just saying that, like, I mean, fuck. I'll say it for me. You just can't take, like, a brilliant movie and make it a slasher movie. Dude, Jaws isn't a slasher movie. You can't turn it into a slasher movie. Well, it shouldn't be. Fucking no. That's why no one watches Jaws 2 through 4. It shouldn't be a slasher. Yeah, I know you do. Fuck.
They just put it on Blu-ray.
Boom. Yes.
I know.
There are devotees of this movie. I'm just saying. And the series.
It's 3D. I get it.
No, but even Jaws 2, I think, has a bigger following.
But own personal reviewer, I just have to be like, you know, fuck this. There's no reason. There's just no reason for it.
This is the first time I've seen it in 3D, and I've watched it probably 100 times, probably, yep. You know, through my lifetime.
Yep. I just don't even think you should. Like I said earlier, it'd be like if Rocky turned into a slasher movie. You're like, why is this a slasher movie all of a sudden?
They took, why does he have a knife in the ring? It's
weird. He waits till it's night, and then he fucking boxes.
Well, I kind of get why you would do
that's
it.
That's how he kills people. He's wandering in the streets, punching them in the face.
This is a movie? Can we do it?
It's Rocky at night, the night.
The punch killer.
Night fighter.
The night boxer, like yeah, night yeah. Boxer. The night boxer.
I get why they do it, because like that's if you're going to have people in peril and a shark or some kind of, you know, underwater, it's like that's naturally, I think, how it goes that you lay out your story. But I don't think I agree with you. I don't think it's the most creative way. And I think that's why you kind of have like a series of diminishing returns as you go on these type of movies.
Well, what was scary about Jaws, and it was almost the same thing I was talking about when we were talking about Guyver 2, like why the scenes in the daytime are so effective for me. When a monster can strike in the daytime, that's way more scarier just because you're so psychologically told, oh, it's what you don't see at night, blah, blah, blah. So the power of Jaws was the fact that it's sunny, you're at the beach, it's a nice day. Yeah. And I just think that this movie just takes all that away because every scene tries to be nighttime. It's like it's at nighttime in the park. And it's just like, fucking shit. These people don't know what's scary about being attacked in the water in the first place. Even though I am, like, personally more scared of a, like, fuck, I'll be scared of a pool at night. It was like, I can't see what's in that pool. I don't know what the fuck's in there.
Somebody put something in that fucking pool. Giant alligator. You ever seen that movie?
Oh, no.
There's a scene alive.
Is it just an alligator in a pool?
There's an alligator creeps into a giant alligator.
Is that
right?
Eat Alive?
Alligator.
Alligator.
Gets into a pool. These kids come out, and I haven't seen this in years, but it scared the shit out of me because the lights are off in the pool. They don't know that it's there. Kid gets up on the diving board, jumps in. The other kid turns the light on. There's a fucking giant alligator. It Swallows the kid. Holds him.
Does it jump into its mouth?
Yeah.
Where the fuck?
Okay. That's what I was hoping.
Like, where the fuck was a 35-foot great white hiding during the day? In a park. It was in the park the whole time.
But it was in the filtration pipe.
You guys got all the
we got all the details down.
Yeah, the dialogue.
It's in the filtration pipe.
Yeah. With the water being shoved through its mouth.
Yeah, dude, I guess that ain't... I quit listening to what people were saying at some point.
I don't think through this podcast we've celebrated, what's his name? Louis Gossett Jr. Enough.
Star of Enemy Mine. The Oscar winner for...
Oscar winner.
The Oscar winner for Officer
and Gentleman.
The star of Roots. The star of Iron Eagle.
The star of what?
Roots.
Iron Eagle. Yes, like you said.
Yeah, I'm lukewarm to Iron Gossett.
But
he's a good actor. Right, I've always liked him.
He was nominated. This movie was nominated for 5 Razzie Awards, including
for a second. I thought you were going to say Academy Awards. I'm like, what the fuck?
Yeah, I was going to like flip out.
The Dolphins, who provide the emotional payoff, at the end, were nominated for worst debut or worst couple. But Lou Gossett Jr. was nominated as worst actor, and I'm like, you've got to be on
crack.
He's
not that bad.
He's super intense. Sells everything that he says.
Everything he says.
Yeah, smiles very sinisterly.
I felt he tried to be too uber black in this movie.
I think that's a little disgusting.
I thought that was awesome, though, because you always hear about...
He's from New Orleans.
Nolens.
I don't know.
Bouchard. My name is Bouchard.
We're going to shut the pumps down. We're going to suffocate the fish. Listen here, nephew.
Yeah, I like them. I like them in this movie. I mean... I make fun of Louis Gossett, but I've never seen him in a bad role. I've never seen him do bad. I've never seen him ham it up. I've never seen him like completely just like do like a robotic performance. He always seems very natural.
The
characters he plays are so fucking interesting, right. But still.
No, I feel bad for the guy because I've seen a picture of him in some type of Egyptian headdress and all that it up. And it's some like crappy 90s era horror movie. I don't remember what it was, but I was just like, Lou Gossett Jr., you won the Oscar.
But he always did shit. Winning the Oscar is not like...
You can win an Oscar once and still have a shitty career.
Yeah, dude, he's always...
I mean, this is... Halle Berry.
Nicolas Cage?
Yeah, it's like... All you gotta do is do one good performance to win an Oscar and still have a really bad career.
Yeah, fucking Shirley Temple won a fucking...
Times are different.
Yeah, so, well, come on.
I mean, but that's basically it, right? They blow the shark up and 3D fucking Jaws, like literally the come spinning out into the audience. And there's nothing better than that.
There's nothing
so
that, more than that.
And are we done with Jaws 3?
I'm done with this.
I think that does it for Jaws 3.
Observations.
Adios.
Igor, bring us the mail, sir.
Igor.
Masters, the mail. I've got the mail. So many letters. Our followers are rising.
Okay. Thank you, Igor.
Nice hat, Igor. I like your hat. It's a new one, right?
Yeah.
Where'd he go?
Been a while since I've seen him, but yeah.
He doesn't like people to talk about his hat.
Apparently not. He's quick.
There's a trail. He left a trail of slime.
Yeah. So watch your step on the way out.
I don't think he likes fish movies. I think that's his only fear. Like,
is that why he was out of here quick? He's like,
well, he always refuses to bathe. So
yeah, he smells like fish.
True. Anything with water, he does not like.
Yeah. All right. So if you want to write into us, this is Igor's mailbag. He brings us the mail. If you want to talk to us, and we encourage that you do, we want you to be part of the Freak Show family. You can write to us on Facebook or at Saturday Night Freak Show. Facebook.com/Saturday Night Freak Show. There we go. And we're also on Twitter at Sat Freak Show. And you can get a hold of us email SaturdayNightFreakShow@yahoo.com. Tonight, Holly writes in.
Oh.
And we're saying, where is Holly tonight? Well, Holly had her wisdom teeth removed and was going to show the movie Legend. I know some of you were thinking that you were going to be hearing
it. So she had her jaws removed.
But now we have to skip her, so Legend is probably coming, unfortunately,
in a month.
Three or four weeks down the line.
Sorry.
So, yeah.
wrap up from beyond the pod.
Holly says, sorry I won't be there, guys. Turns out it's hard to talk with a painfully swollen face.
I'm not surprised.
Enjoy Jaws 3D and have a good laugh at Dennis Quaid's hysterical freakout when he steals the popcorn cart and then crashes it on nothing.
She
says she'll be wearing her Amity Island shirt in solidarity while she ices her face, and will see us in a week.
Yeah, I forgot I was going to mention about that, how, like, yeah, there was just, like, he just crashes it, and then there's, like, other, like, little, like, they look like children-type carts, and he's just like, oh, my God, there's just, like, all this chaos going on that he can't, like, make it to wherever the fuck he's going.
It is, and that's what's, from a very young age, that stood out to me as something like, what's going on? I don't understand why Dennis Quaid is freaking out.
Does he just know how to ride a bike?
Get out of the water
now! Just the part where he, like, almost hits kids and then crashes, like, that scene.
They make it seem like it's an obstacle when it's, like, right. It just seems like you fall over.
Oh, my God. He can't get there. Like when you're trying to run through a crowd and all of a sudden there's a bunch of people there holding you back. Yeah. That's what it is.
There's only 10 people holding me back. I can't get through it.
I can't walk around them.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Right.
That's what it felt like.
Oh, my God.
Brian Perry writes in and says, I only remember the blatant harpoon 3D gag from this movie.
Yes.
Back when they let you know a 3D moment was coming.
Yeah, dude, that was definitely Friday 13th style. Friday 13th, harpoon. Yeah.
It's the same shot.
It's the needle. Same
almost
shot.
Is.
The needle.
It's the same shot.
When they're getting the needle ready for the knockout juice for the
shot. Oh, yeah. Where they're just, injecting and, like, spraying it at the camera.
But that shot where he shoots the harpoon, like, they do the exact same shot in Friday the 13th Part 3. Mm-hmm. You know what else they do in Friday the 13th Part 3? Same fucking tagline on the poster. The third dimension is terror.
Oh, shit.
Wow.
Boom. Yeah. Just ripped it right off.
That's crazy.
So I explained on Twitter that Holly was having her wisdom teeth yanked. So that's why we wouldn't be doing Legend. And DC on Twitter. Is that you, Dom? Is that you, Dom Cree?
Oh, Dom.
Says, that sounds slightly less painful than watching the movie itself. Ha!
Ah! That's funny.
Zing!
Zing! All right, wait. Do you hear that? You hear those bells?
Uh-oh.
That means it must be time for wrap-ups.
Oh, Jesus.
The hour has come, sirs.
Thank you, Lurk.
I appreciate Lurk. Sorry. Lurk. Yeah, don't. Yeah, you can't. Yeah, he doesn't like that.
His name is Lurk.
He came with the place, right?
He doesn't. Yeah, he does.
Yeah,
he,
we're not.
He's been here a long time.
First time running into that guy.
He's been here longer than us, so we're still trying to kind of.
We told him to leave a week ago. He's still here.
He's not going to leave, dude. He's been here longer than the foundation itself. Lurk is here to stay.
All right, so we're going to begin wrap-ups with Travis. What do you think of Jaws
3D? I hate this movie.
Travis!
I've always hated this movie. I mean, I've never... If I can like a 3D movie in its really shitty 2D state if it's a good movie, right? And I'm just from the get-go, this movie's always never, just ever did anything for me. I always feel like... not having really recognizable characters from, I mean, even though they're supposed to be the same characters from the other, they just don't feel like it. The movie doesn't link you into it. It doesn't like, so I just feel like it drops you with a bunch of strangers at SeaWorld. I feel like it's an advertisement for SeaWorld more than it's a movie. And I'm surprised, like, I don't think there might have not been a Shamu at SeaWorld by the time, or else this movie had to have.
It feels like there was. Like, it feels like I knew about Shamu.
But it would have mentioned it. Because by the 90s, there was already Shamu 2 or something, you know, because they fucking die off so quickly in captivity. but.
You're right?
This movie doesn't even do. I mean, the first movie only has the girl killed at the beginning, the leg severed in the shallow, like, boating part.
Alex Kittner.
But so there's still, there, you know, but this movie, like.
Oh, Ben Gardner. And the two guys with their. Turkey. What are we talking about?
Yeah, the turkey. Well, I'm just saying there's not a lot. There's just not a lot of death in Jaws, the original. And this fucking only really has, what, three deaths, really?
It kills the nephew.
No, the two boater guys.
It kills the two boater. Those
are the reshoot. Well, that's your Friday the 13th.
That's the one. Like, nothing happens in this movie except for people.
Just a shitty flat
death. We need 3D shit.
No one's running. This movie is just running around SeaWorld. There's, like, nothing fucking happens in this movie. There's a lot of, like, oh, my God, we got to fix a gate. It's just like, oh my God, there's just like boring shit to do at SeaWorld. This is like, there's not like a killer shark or whatever. It's just, I've never cared for this movie. I don't care for any Jaws sequel. Jaws 1 is fucking brilliant. It's one of those like, oh my God, this is, I mean, the book and the movie are both fucking brilliant. There's no sequelizing the story the same way most horror movies. There's no sequelizing, yet they do.
They realize that after part four.
It's like no one's fucking buying it. They realize it forever ago. They just, as soon as the money dries up, they're like, fuck.
But thank God it served an awesome punchline in Back to the Future too.
Oh, I can't wait for the remake.
There's going
to be a Jaws remake, whether you like it or not, folks.
Alive.
Bullshit. That's bullshit. There's going
to be. It was called Dante's Peak.
Oh my God.
They substituted a volcano. It's the fucking story of Jaws.
Dante's Peak isn't sellable. Jaws. Oh, man. Bankable.
Yep.
So, fuck this movie. I just don't like this.
There's no movies untouchable nowadays.
It's nice to see 3D movies, though. I mean, I'll say that. It's nice to see 3D movies... just how they were originally intended, if not better. Just because, whatever, it's a little slice of history that you won't ever get to experience in a theater or, you know, whatever. So enjoy it while you can.
Yeah.
That's it.
Jaws 3. It's not a great movie, but it is a movie that I grew up with. I'm pretty sure it's the first Jaws I saw because, again, it played on TV all the time. I can still tell you the commercial breaks where they show up in the movie. I've always liked the Jaws series. Like it's obvious that none of them are on the level of Jaws. Like that's widely agreed upon that Jaws is, you know, kind of the be all end all as far as that goes.
One of the best movies ever made.
It really is. When it was re-released in theater, was it last year?
Yeah.
Oh, it was beautiful. I forgot how beautiful that movie is. is, like how it's shot. It's a perfect movie.
It's perfect.
The sequels less so, but there are things you can find in those movies that are enjoyable. I like Jaws 2. It is a slasher movie on the water. Jaws 3, I think it's got enough elements for me. I like the characters. Like, they're characters you can like, whereas in a lot of movies these days, they only make characters that you don't even like. They're just bad people.
Yeah.
And you don't care about them. And if they die, like, so what? Like, I don't like that. But they seem like, you know, normal people. They have fun with each other. They're, you know, they're having fun throughout the movie. It is not like a Shark Attack movie, because they kind of have the little shark. And then the big shark comes in near the end. So there's not kind of like that constant presence. It is kind of focuses more on the people. They're interesting people, and I like the actors who are playing them. But all in all, I think, I've seen this movie maybe almost like 50 to 100 times. Like, I've seen this a lot. Every now and again, I'll go through and, like, I just bought like the shitty 2 through 4 DVD pack at Walmart the other day, and I'll sit down and I'll watch them. I'll just watch them through. So I do revisit this series. I do find them entertaining. I may not watch this one for a while because, I mean, well, just because seeing it in 3D like this well on a Blu-ray, like, I'm for a while, I'll be good as far as this movie goes, because this was this was pretty good. It was great to finally see it in 3D. Like, I've been watching in 2D for my whole life, so this was fantastic. I recommend the movie. Like, I like this movie. It's got flaws, obviously, but if you can, like, they just released in Blu-ray and 3D, definitely watch it that way, because it was, it's great to finally see it that way. But even in, like, 2D, there's enough in this movie to enjoy, so I recommend it.
All right. My turn. I'm here on a spur of a moment thing, you know, same day call up from my AAA job here, to coming up to the majors. And, I seen on Facebook that Holly couldn't make it. And I liked on the topic. I'm like, man, Jaws 3D. I'm like, how awesome would that to see Jaws 3D in 3D finally, you know?
Not very. Finally.
It's like, oh, we have an answer.
Oh, he could have spent an evening with his children.
Yeah. And Colin gave me a call up. He's like, you know, we got a spot open, you know, come in and watch it. I was like, hell yeah, screw whatever plans I had tonight.
I know it's her birthday. I don't care.
I don't care. It's her anniversary. It's on 3D. But I was like, Jaws 3D. In 3D? I'm like, hell yeah. Because I've seen this movie, you know, like I said, you know, all the time as a kid. It was one of my first endeavors into Jaws. It was the first Jaws movie I seen that, you know, my parents were like, all right, you know, you know, we rented this movie, you know, come and watch it with this. And it was like, at, you know, what was I, like 4 or 5, you know, 5 or 6 even. And it was like, holy cow, this is cool, you know. And, you know, as growing up, you keep watching over and over again. And, you know, it has its cheesy parts and that.
But, it loses some luster, but.
Yeah, but tonight, you know, watching, I was like, hell yeah, it's in 3D.
It does a lot.
Sometimes that trumps all. You're just like, but it's in 3D.
Exactly. Yeah. And it was everything that I was hoping that would be. You know, I'm not saying this is an award-winning movie or anything, but
it didn't win.
It didn't win a Razzie?
No, I think they took things from that. They took awards from the people.
No, you know that money we gave you to make this movie? We're taking it back.
And, you know, I've just recently, you know, we bought the anniversary edition of Blu-ray on the Jaws and introduced my kids to it, and they think it's freaking awesome. So we're, you know, gonna I'm not ashamed to bring them in the 2, 3, and 4, you know, down the road here.
Oh, sure.
And I say watch it, you know, if you have the chance to watch it in 3D, that's the way to watch it.
You can purchase it through a link on our website, which is SaturdayNightFreakShow.blogspot.com. It'll link you right over to the Amazon thing, so you can purchase Jaws 3D.
Do it.
You're incorrectly
like $10. Come on,
Jaws 3,
right
on Amazon. Is that it? You were done. Okay. So Yeah, there's no way that I can really give this a completely objective review, right? I mean, because like I think Sean and Nick, I've been watching this movie. I've seen this movie hundreds of times. Yeah. Like, I love Jaws. As it is a great movie, right? But I have seen Jaws 3D a lot more than I have seen Jaws because it's been the Great White Buffalo. What I didn't tell you about the little semi-autobiographical detour that I took earlier. Yeah, I was 9. Yeah, Jaws 3D came out, and my fucking parents wouldn't take me to see it. Now, this is back in the day. Like, because I was begging. I was like, come on, we got to go see this. And I remember it playing for like 2 weeks, and it was gone. Even though it made like a decent amount of money. Sure. They said they pulled it, and it was like, it was pulling in, you know, against more per theater, the Return of the Jedi at the time. But they still canned it like 2 weeks in because they had to put Metal Storm in for some fucking reason.
Fucking Metal Storm
like,
again.
Metal Storm was like a pickup that Universal made. They're like, well, we're outfitting all these theaters with the adapters.
Mm-hmm.
We need something to, you know, fill. And they're like, somebody's making a 3D movie. Let's buy that fucking thing. Doesn't matter if it's shitty or not. We'll put it in all the theaters right after Jaws 3. So I didn't get to see it in the theater. If you didn't see Jaws 3D in the theater in 1983, you were pretty much fucked for ever seeing that movie in 3D. And I knew that at the time. At 9 years old, I fucking knew that. I was like, God damn it. I'm not going to be able to see this fucking movie. I've been hunting
it down.
They
don't make 3D VHS, Dad.
That's right. I'm like, it's not going to be in red and blue and all this other fucking shit. This is your shot to see it. And if you miss it, it's gone. I didn't see it. So this put it in a rarefied, like, white buffalo kind of, just the Great White Buffalo.
Just since it's rare, it's...
Yeah, you know, and I had, so that. I became obsessed with Jaws 3D. I saw, like, you know, I had the fucking Topps cards, I think, and, you know, like, all the record album, all this stuff.
Did you make a part of this 3D? Like, the scene where he crashed through the glass, like you did on Friday the 13th? Where did you find that? Because you showed that to us one night.
Yeah, because the Japanese put it out on the VHD disc in 3D in the 90s, and the Senseo DVD I got a torrent of at some point. Gotcha. So it's been out there kind of for a while, but this final Blu-ray release is like, okay, this is the real deal that Universal is finally putting it out. And then it's like I get shit on because they fucking put it out as a special feature on its own movie. You know, it's not Jaws 3D, even though the title's Jaws 3D, it's still called Jaws 3 on the
day. It's been Jaws 3 longer than it's been Jaws 3D.
Well, if it was Jaws 3D, people wouldn't buy it because they would think it's specifically in 3D, and they want to trick people to just buy the fucking movie.
Right.
Because who the fuck is going to buy Jaws 3 by itself?
Yeah. So that's...
That's why they put those movies together.
I guess, you know, so I'm aware... I guess I'm aware of the flaws of this movie, but, like, to me, the movie works. Like, unapologetically, it works. And maybe that's because, like I said, I've seen it, like, so many goddamn times that it's just kind of, you know, like sandpaper. You know, you've smoothed the thing off.
Fuck it. So cool. Like, I love it.
It totally works. There's parts that... Yeah, it's like, yeah, the special effects are cheesy. Yeah, it sucks that at the end they take, you know, the Sean and Kelly characters out of the fucking movie and have dolphins standing for them. It's like, yeah, the shark looks fake as all hell, but it still works. And this time I was like, you know, because I was a lot more critical of it sitting back here while you guys were watching it. I'm like, you know, because you're watching with people and it's like, oh, now the movie's like under criticism. There's people studying it because we're going to be talking about it later. And I'm like sitting there going like, you know, the thing that's actually working about this movie are the characters are, they feel like real people. Mm. And I know that, you know, there's people out there who shit all over this movie and say that, you know, the characters suck and the actors suck. And I'm like, I don't see how that is. They all seem like natural performances. They seem like real people in a way that, as Sean was saying, they're not like cynical. They're not tortured by some, you know, thing. It's like, yeah, something happened in my past, you know, as far as the shark attack. But that's basically as far as deep as that gets. They are still fun-loving people. They like hanging out with each other. There's a lightness to their personalities and to the movie itself. The score is like buoyant and joyful, kind of, even though it's got that dun-dun-dun-dun, you know. But it's all uplifting kind of thing. Bright colored movie. I don't know. It just, it's like a feel-good summer movie, you know. I know we missed Shark Week. We apologize, but this is like our tribute to, but it's, you know, it's just a fun movie, I think. And it is no Jaws, but I think on a certain level, you can appreciate this as a decent entertainment. if you see it in 3D, which I say is the only way to see it, yeah. Right? I say in 2D, it's a mediocre movie. In 3D, it's a fucking great goddamn, you know, movie to me. So see Jaws 3D in 3D. Boom. That's the final word. So next week, we're going to be watching, sorry, Holly, Travis's movie. And Travis, what are we going to be watching?
Oh, man, because of you specifically, you inspired me. We are watching Superman 3.
Oh.
1983.
The Richard Pryor one.
What's the one that scared the shit out of me as a kid?
That
all right.
Scare all of you.
Oh, my God.
All right, so that's next week on the Saturday Night Freak Show. And until then, the basement is going dark.